This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. We'll get back into all the news from the National Football League over the last 24 hours. We got a bunch of audio clips from Falcons assistant coaches who met with the media yesterday. I assume Smoking Joe Patrick was in attendance. I guess there's no scrums when it's press conferences, which I know he hates.
Yes.
But still, he can still get some jabs in there.
I mean, he likes to have, body contact with others.
He does.
Yeah.
And so, he's a physical specimen.
He is, man. And, still got rock. I saw his video this morning. He's still rocking the Stone Cold.
Good.
And everything. That should be beneficial for him tomorrow in the media match. Right,
which is why he has to join us today.
Yes.
Because he's got to start hydrating and prepping.
Because him and Abe are going to go at it.
Yeah.
They're going head-to-head, toe-to-toe and everything. My money's on Abe, mainly because he's one of our show people.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that being said.
I've seen him. Abe's better.
He's better than Joe.
Mm-hmm.
You would know more than me. Like you actually went and watched Abe play.
Yeah, I've seen him. Yeah. I played with Abe. Yeah. Abe's pretty good. Oh, he is pretty good soccer player.
To what standard?
Yeah, right. The standard of the level we were at. Like, I'm not saying he could play for Argentina.
Never know.
But like,
I bet Abe thinks he can.
In the co-ed 7-on-7 league we played in, Abe was pretty good. And against the Atlanta soccer media, Abe's quite good. with that, let's get to Smoking Joe Patrick.
Did Joe give up 12 goals last year?
A couple years ago. Joe had a rough second half.
Don't call yourself short, Andy. Don't call yourself short. Bucanegra loves you.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you guys. I'm not playing tomorrow.
Reporter Smoking Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
Okay.
But like Carlos Bocanegra thinking I'm good, is that even a compliment? ran him up out of here.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, absolutely is.
Like Joe,
never let that down, Andy. No. A couple things, guys. Yeah. First, I will concede that Abe is probably better than me. Definitely in better physical condition.
He's loving that.
Two, without the hair, I'm so white and now bald. I've got to like start suntanning and put the suntan lotion on now to prepare for tomorrow.
Right.
Probably.
Right. Sure.
And yeah, it's been a fun day. We were scrumming, by the way, yesterday. So we were, martial art, really. You gotta be able to, work the space, not let anyone get too close, as Shale Sonnen used to say.
No, I didn't know that that the media availability was happening. Like we're not the beat reporters, so they're not gonna tell us like this. We just knew that Jeff Ulbrich was gonna meet with the media. I assumed that was simply in relation to the fine that came down yesterday. When you found that out, like when you found out that they fined the team $250,000 and him $100,000, what was your reaction to that?
My reaction was that it was a lot of money, and I understood why it happened. I actually was doing a radio hit with Dylan Matthews, our friend and colleague, about 15 minutes after the Falcons released their statement. I believe that was on Sunday. Mm. And I said that I expected Ulbrich to get fined at that time. I did not expect the team to get fined. I kind of understand why the NFL would have done that. But then after reading Mike Florio's report from last night, I think that kind of blows up the whole thing, really, because honestly, this is the NFL screwed up. They appear to have accidentally sent Shedeur Sanders' new phone number to like over 2,000 people. They sent it to every single assistant coach, which means that they sent that number directly to Ulbrich. That number would not have come from the Falcons. And actually, the reason why we know this is because the NFL initially sent a list of phone numbers for various players to the top clubs that said, this is confidential, don't share this with anyone. That confidential email had Shedeur Sanders' old phone number in it. So the fact that he was reached by his new cell phone number, and that's why there was this confusion as to how anyone would have gotten this, well, perhaps it was because the NFL sent it out to 2,000 people. And again, I think that was accidental. You would have think that they would have just sent that email with the new phone number for Shedeur out to the initial group that got the initial batch of phone numbers for top level executives. So anyway, I think the Falcons are probably in their right to appeal this. I don't know if they will. They may, you know, maybe it's just worth it to not, like, exacerbate
that's
the whole thing.
But
let it go.
Yeah, yeah. So it just depends. But I think, you know, if you put yourselves in their shoes, I think that, like, I know I would feel this way, guys. Like, if I did nothing wrong and then I got, like, fined for something, I'd be like, I followed every single rule. And, you know, obviously, yeah, and this is not to absolve Jax Ulbrich and, you know, Jeff. I thought really he was like a man, basically standing up there and taking responsibility for it. And honestly, not even, like, putting the blame on his son, but just taking it on himself, which I thought was, you know, excellent of him to do. And they're not disputing the fines. He said that yesterday. They totally accept the punishment. But I think from the, on the Falcon side, I think, you know, there's this notion that the Falcons as an organization are kind of, you know, bumbling and making all these mistakes. And that's, you know, they have been fined several times. And this kind of just perpetuates that. And I got to feel like people in that building are feeling just kind of spurned by the fact that, like, we actually didn't really, like, this leak, the security leak that definitely happened and people needed to be punished for, we weren't really involved in it. It came directly from the NFL. And as far as accountability is concerned, I'm sure they're probably also like, where the hell is the NFL's accountability in this? Like who sent out that email to all these, you know, tens of thousands of people? So anyway, it's this story that I don't think anybody really like likes to talk about it, but it's one of those annoying ones. Sorry, I went on the rant there.
So no football questions were asked him at all about the guys who they drafted for him or anything like that?
To Ulbrich yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he didn't talk anything about football because he already did a press conference. I believe it was on Friday or Saturday.
Okay.
Kind of talking more of the football stuff. And that's where we kind of found out that, like, Billy Bowman is going to play nickel. You know, they're going to kind of keep Jalen Walker. They want him, you know, Ulbrich said they want him to master the edge.
That's right. We had that on Monday. That's right.
What did we gotcha. Learn? What did you learn, if anything, from Zach Robinson and his press yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's more just like it feels like these coaches are really excited. And, you know, you get the sense that Zach Robinson is going to be able to open up his playbook a little bit this year because he kind of talked about the fact that, you know, it's not to, you know, besmirch Kirk Cousins or anything, but, like, you know, Michael Penix, just because of the natural talents that he has, he can access parts of the field, not just that Kirk Cousins couldn't access, but that a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL can't access. And I think that he kind of is getting excited thinking about the ways that some of these guys, you know, they can get more of these guys open, and that there is just a familiarity amongst the whole building, at least on the player side. The sports side, there's familiarity that the players have with the coaches, that, you know, just people have with one another, but also then with the scheme as well. And I think that they feel like that can lead to just a whole lot more success for the Falcons offense, which they're going to need to have. This is going to be an offensively driven football team still.
Now that free agency has happened and the draft has happened, of course, there's still, you know, there's stuff that can happen later in the summer, and it always does. But what do you feel like the Falcons' biggest hole is now after everything so far this offseason?
Yeah, they're not holes. I think there's, like, vulnerabilities for sure. I think one is kind of a traditional nose, you know, like in that base defense that, you know, you typically have like a 330 pounder in there nowadays. I don't know if they have that prototypical guy. Maybe they don't need that guy. Maybe, you know, Jeff Ulbrich and Nate Ollie can kind of, you know, scheme around that or just feel like they don't necessarily need that. But that's definitely a role, I would say, that's not really perfectly filled on this roster right now. And the one for me, I guess you could consider this technically a hole because actually Ryan Neuzel is not technically part of the football team right now.
Feels like a hole.
That was going to be my question.
Feels like a hole to me.
He is, like, they have a right of first refusal. He's going to be on the team, obviously. I think they have to wait until June 1st where they plan to make some cuts. But there's nobody there to compete with him either. And, like, he's a guy who would be making, you know, getting basically his first year as a starting as a starter at that position, and there's no competition for him. So that, to me, is the real glaring one. I really thought that they would target that position in the draft. You know, Jared Wilson from Georgia kind of was selected just a few picks
before
he traded up for Xavier Watts. So, you know, I think that maybe him getting selected actually maybe forced the Falcons, like, to make that trade to go up to get Watts, because I would have felt like they would have gone for Wilson had he dropped all the way to where the Falcons range to pick him.
Damn Patriots is just like, it was right.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh, they love falling. Georgia centers there.
They do.
I know he's falling right to him and everything like that. But, yeah, they would have had and snatched him up and everything. So when you look at the – I want to go offensive line, period. How do you think they're playing this thing out with the left-handed quarterback? I mean, obviously, they didn't trade McGarry. They didn't draft a guy in the first round or everything like that. Do you look at it from a standpoint where, because I was talking about it earlier, the protection changes because of the left-handed guy. Did they get enough reps in the three games that he was there to be kind of satisfied with what you think they have as far as protection?
Yeah, I think that they're okay with what they have for now. I think they're going to let this thing roll with Caleb McGarry. There was no, you know, egregious errors that he made in, you know, the three games that he played with Michael Penix at the end of last year. And that's not to say that that couldn't happen. But, you know, I think that what they've seen from McGarry is good enough pass protection in most circumstances. And there will be times where they go up against some really dangerous speed rushers, which we all know that he has trouble with. And I think that they'll just try to scheme, or, you know, to help him as much as they can in some of those games. And, you know, they tried to do that at times last year. And like the one that stands out is that first game of the season against TJ Watt, where he was just exploiting Caleb McGarry. And they tried to help him with Kyle Pitts, but Pitts was actually not helping at all either. And I would think that Zach Robinson has actually probably learned from that experience and saying that's probably not the best way to help Caleb McGarry by using Pitts. So maybe they can, you know, use some other options, whether that's Charlie Warner, maybe in like a sidecar and shotgun or whatever it might be. I'm sure there's some creative ways they can do it. But, you know, I think for now they're just going to kind of keep rolling with this thing. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they do that down the line. But that's probably a conversation for maybe next offseason as to how they go about this. What I'm kind of curious about is, what could they potentially move Jake Matthews? And normally you wouldn't move a veteran that late in his career, but it's not like moving from the left to the right would be like a demotion for him, because you're still like you're moved so that you can protect our quarterback's blind side. Having said that, it's just a lot harder for an offensive lineman to move because they're so familiar with the way they set their feet on one side, and that gets completely reversed if you change him.
That's a lot of games at left tackle to be moving to right tackle at this point. Smoking Joe Patrick joins us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, normally on Fridays, but he's got a media match tomorrow. We saw that Drake London got his fifth year extended. No surprise there. What do you think happens between now and training camp in terms of trying to get a long-term contract for him?
You know, I think, I think that obviously they're going to be, you know, negotiating this thing up until we finally hear that they have, you know, come to some sort of extension. I don't know how much success they'll have, because I'm sure that they were trying to do that to this point and probably couldn't get something done. And so they go ahead and exercise the fifth year option. But I think it speaks to the fact that Drake London and his kind of camp, as far as the business side goes, is very confident in what he can do as a player and is very willing to just let the thing ride, because if he puts in another year like he did last year, which I feel like the guy had the quietest, you know, fourth rank in the NFL in receiving yards possible last. If he does that again, then his value is only going to go up. And generally, you know, the later you sign a contract, the more money you're going to get, because the league just keeps getting more valuable and player salaries just keep going up and up and up. And so the longer you can wait out, the better you'll be. Of course, you run risks of potentially being injured or, you know, something like that, changing the picture. But it's going to be a tough negotiation, I think, for the Falcons. But honestly, like, they are going to work something out. I think that maybe Drake London as a player embodies what the Falcons want themselves to be from an identity standpoint and like a mentality, maybe more than any other player. I'm thinking like Chris Lindstrom, Drake London, like these are like Jesse Bates. These are the kinds of guys that you build a franchise around. So I have no doubt that he's going to be here for a long time.
We got 30 seconds, Joe. What's wrong with our soccer team since you're going to be out there tomorrow?
Man. I don't know. They're just totally broken. It's concerning that every player looks capable of making a big mistake or already has made a big mistake. And it just feels like if there's something systemically wrong when every player looks like they're playing at like a lesser degree than what we all think or know that they're capable of playing. So it's a big challenge for Ronnie Dyla. And I think it speaks to like the mentality. I think the mentality is just so low right now. The confidence is so low. It's hard to build back up, but they got to see the ball. It's like, you know, in golf, you just got to see a putt go in or a shot go in or something good happen, and you hope that that can kind of spark things turning around.
Well, I think you guys going out there and showing them what it looks like tomorrow could maybe be the spark to turn it around.
Either
that or I don't know, because I know in the past the technical director and the manager have played. I don't know if they're playing tomorrow. I just, if I were you, I'd keep my head on a swivel. Because if my team lost 3-0 like four games in a row, I might want to kick Abe in the knee. You know what I mean?
No doubt. You know what I mean? Doubt.
All right.
Good point.
Thank you, Smoking Joe. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Smoking Joe Patrick there every single week at the end of the week, usually on Fridays. But today on Thursday, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle, kick off the noon hour. It's a Trillville Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.